Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
And welcome to this special edition of Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, doing the show today from the Rum Warehouse at the Titanic Hotel in Liverpool. I'm here for the Everton in the Community People's Place Gala Dinner. It's a black tie event, and currently people are about to sit down and eat what will hopefully be an incredible meal and raise lots of money for a brand new mental health facility being built within the shadow of Goodison Park, where Everton Football Club play their home games. Over the course of today's show, you're going to be hearing about what the People's Place is, how it's coming about, how it's going to be paid for, and the sort of facilities that are going to be on offer. We're also going to be hearing from various different people, from the chief exec of Everton Football Club, first team players, former players, and those supporting within the community, who are going to explain exactly what's going on. We're also going to get a sense of how the fundraising is taking place, with a little bit of a twist as well, with little games being played with the first team, challenging members of the public, all in the aid of fundraising for the People's Place. It's a gala dinner, and it's a Mental Health Monday special from Radio City Talk. First up on the programme today, we have the chief exec of Everton in the Community, Richard Kenyon. Richard, thank you for the invite. Very nice. Great little setup that we've got here as well, and a night really to look forward to.
Yeah, really looking forward to this evening. It's going to be a really, really good fun night. All of our players are here, all of our first team squad, some of our ladies players as well, lots of former players, and it's going to be a really, really fun, entertaining evening, but with some serious messages in there as well about the campaign that we're running, which is to build what we're calling the People's Place, a permanent mental health facility in the shadows of Goodison Park.
I mean, this is a very ambitious project, isn't it? I mean, let's make no bones about it. You're going to do something very special here.
We are. It's an important project for us. People may know that we've been running mental health programs for more than 10 years now. We have 11 programs running currently, and they're from school age children to the elderly in our community, and it's really, really important. It's a growing issue in our society. It is ambitious to raise more than £1 million to build a physical building to run these programs from, but it's really, really important, so we're committed to doing it. We've got form in these things. We've built a school because there was need to do so. We have our People's Hub also next to Goodison Park, indeed, which will be next to our People's Place mental health facility. We've converted an old social club recently. So we've got form in taking sort of derelict or semi-derelict buildings around Goodison and transforming them for community benefit. So this is just the next stage in our plan, really.
If you wanted to, you could tick a few boxes, say, yeah, we're doing the whole charity thing. We're a football club. We're part of our community. But obviously, from the things that you've done so far, you've actually found value and worth to actually think, well, it's not just about doing this again and again. It's about doing more and more.
Absolutely. The football club is in a really privileged position because there is a power in our badge. There is a unique opportunity with a football club. You know, people respond to it. People will talk to us about their physical health, their mental health, all kinds of different things, where they might not talk to other institutions or authorities. You know, they might not turn to a GP. A middle-aged man might not turn to a GP, but he'll talk to somebody from his football club. So we have that opportunity. It's unique, and it's a responsibility, and we take that very, very seriously. So this is important to us. It's, as I say, it's the next stage in the growth of our charity, really. It's a charity that's done great work for more than 30 years now, and it's just the next stage in what I'm sure will be further growth over many years.
Let's talk about the nature of the building as well. Obviously, there's the bricks and mortar around it as well, but actually the service that is there, you're talking about a one-stop shop, a drop-in facility. You know, there's all sorts of different projects that are out there at the moment, and you're seeing a come one, come all kind of thing.
I think that's a really good way to summarise it. What this centre will have, it will have rooms for us to deliver our programmes from, our current programmes and new programmes that we'll inevitably devise. We'll have probably some physical health facilities in there as well, because we know about the links between physical health and mental health. But the real key is that it's the pavement power. It's people being able to just come and have a chat with us, whether they're feeling a bit down or they're feeling desperate. And it doesn't matter whether they're an Evertonian, Liverpool fan, don't like football at all. This is something for everybody. Somewhere where they can go and just pop in and talk to us, and we'll be able to help. If we can't help ourselves, we'll know the people that can. So that's exactly what it's about. It's about a physical centre that can provide an opportunity for everybody to come in and talk to us.
From the chief exec of the football club to yourself, to the manager of the team, the technical director as well, you've been keen to sort of embrace mental health and mental health training as well. When you sat down with Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma, who delivered that training, was that an eye-opening experience to you about the issues maybe that are out there?
I think the training was eye-opening. It was eye-opening to hear some of the statistics, and some of those were really, really powerful. I mean, it's incredible to think that, you know, one in four people are suffering with poor mental health at any time. And, you know, the suicide rate in our region, I think it's 150 people in Merseyside commit suicide every year. And those statistics are even worse in deprived areas like Liverpool 4. So hearing some of those statistics was incredibly powerful. But what was really good about the training that we went through with Jake was some really, really simple things that you can just be aware of, that you can listen out for when you're talking to a colleague, when you're talking to a friend, a family member. Just simple things, you know, to be aware of, things to say or not to say. And the training was delivered in under half an hour. And it was really, really good for our captain went through it, Phil Jagielka, our chief executive, director of football, Marco went through it. And it was really, really important, I think, again, just to be aware of the little things that can make a big, big difference when people are, you know, in times of need.
And it seems like a silly point, but it's an important one, particularly when you look at the makeup of the area in which Everton Football Club is based. There'll be lots of Liverpool fans who live in L4. Will the door be open to them?
The door is absolutely open to Liverpool fans, obviously to Everton fans, fans of any football team or no football team. It's a community facility, so we don't discriminate against fans of other clubs. In fact, it's the opposite. You know, there are probably as many people on our programmes across the board who support Liverpool or other teams. It really, really doesn't matter to us. It's the power of Everton badge gives us the opportunity, but it doesn't matter who that opportunity is there for everybody.
Richard Kenyon, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Joined now by Leighton Baines. Leighton, thank you for your time. Great to see you. The club are really buying into this tonight. You know, you've got first team members of the squad. You've got various different people who've taken part in mental health training as well. Everton and mental health, this is a really strong connection, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's something, like I say, all the work with the community and, you know, the work that we do, the charity work. As a group of players and as a football club, we've always, you know, been heavily invested in it and bought into it. As you can see from the event tonight, you know, a lot of people have spent a lot of time putting this together, and it's all for a great cause.
You seem to get it as well, understand the connections between people's lives, mental health, and the need to take this really seriously now.
Yeah, and it's the understanding of, you know, the role we have, the responsibility we have, and the opportunity we have to, you know, put something back into the community, and also the understanding of the importance of trying to, you know, do good things for other people, and that's what, you know, community is supposed to be about. And I say we're understanding of that. And I say it's the start of, you know, trying to put together a big project that's going to do a lot of good in our community.
And we've seen, obviously, within the communities, but also with even with first team players, you know, and footballers who've spoken out about their own mental health as well. Do you feel like we're in a more sort of open time when it comes to discussing it?
I think people are becoming a lot more understanding of, you know, what that means. And I think, you know, the easiest way for me has always been the sort of analogy of, you know, thinking about it just as you do your physical health. You know, some people genetically or naturally have got a disposition to be in, you know, good shape and look healthy. And some people have to do a bit more work, and it's the same, you know, mental health. You know, some people, you know, just like I say, the genetic makeup, what they've been born with just means they've got to do that little bit more work. And, you know, I think the sort of content now that's available to people gives that education, which helps them to understand it and know that, you know, it's not a, you know, it can come with like those negative connotations, but it's not that at all. You know, it just means you've got to do a little bit more work. And say, I think people are becoming to understand that much more.
Thanks for your time, Leighton.
Cheers. Cheers. Thanks.
Into the main hall, the Rum Warehouse at the Titanic Hotel, where the Everton and the Community People's Place event is taking place. It's a bit of a charity event with a difference, actually. A lot of people mingling, black tie, everyone looks very smart. And what we have now is a series of games and setups whereby first team players, at the moment Theo Walcott is playing golf, are pitching up against members of the public and invited guests to basically take part in various different games. So as I say, there's FIFA in one corner, we've got darts in another. We've got the putting green as well, which Michael Keane is currently standing watch for. Table tennis with Gylfi Sigurdsson as well. And the players, one by one, are taking on those invited guests who are hopefully adding a few quid to a bucket to raise money for the people's place as well. So as we walk around the room, I'm looking at Andre Gomez, very dapper. Marco Silva, the Everton club manager, is here as well. Generally, it seems that everybody is having a good time. Okay, next up we've got Everton legend, Graham Sharp. Sharpie, the club really buys into this stuff, doesn't it, the Everton and the community work?
Yeah, I think it's fabulous. Where it's come from, when I was first at the football in 1988, it started, Everton community, and it was a porter cabin behind the park end. To see where it is now is incredible, and all credit to the people who have made it actually work. But this campaign is another one. You know, we've been involved in many campaigns over the years with dementia sufferers, with veterans from the forces. You know, it's been incredible. So this is another one. But as we all know nowadays, this is an important one, a really, really important. They're all important, but this more than most at the moment is really, really important.
I said to Richard Kenyon, you know, the club, if they wanted to, could pay lip service if they wanted to these sorts of things. But to go the whole hog, to really, you know, set such an ambitious target in terms of the fundraising, and to set up a centre which will be there, you know, potentially longer than Goodison Park with the new stadium plans as well, this is going to make a huge difference, isn't it?
Well, it is, Mick. And I think when you look at the numbers and you look at, you know, what's mental health? And I think the good thing for the football club as well is the football club is actually educating all its employees about what actual mental health is and the programme that they can take. So I think it's really, really important. You know, nowadays, you know, we only hear about mental health. We only really notice about mental health. Sorry, Mike, when some of the Premiership footballers, Aaron Lennon was one, a prime example, close to home. And I think, you know, then everybody was aware of, well, what is this kind of thing? Because I think people looked at it and thought, it doesn't really affect people on the higher ends of society and the people earning big money, but it does. It affects everybody. One in four people, 150 suicides in Merseyside. You know, so it's a big, big issue. And I think it's important that the football club took a hold of it and helped in any way they possibly could. And it's changed. It's changed. So I think things that the players have done, the players are involved in it, and Jordan Pickford's been involved in a campaign, Andre Gomez in a fundraising campaign as well, so they're well aware of it as well. So, you know, it's very, very important. It's something that we need to address.
Those numbers are huge as well. If you imagine the Gladys Street on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock kickoff, they imagine a quarter of it, you know, one in four of those people potentially having issues. Mm-hmm. Just to put it within the context of a football stadium, suddenly you go, oh, wow. Wow, this is such a huge issue for society.
Well, it was, and I think you looked at it before, and there was a stigma associated with mental health, and looked at it and thought, like, look at Liverpool and L4. It's, you know, it's a deprived area, you know, not just in the northwest, but in the whole of the country, and people automatically associate, oh, that's part of the parcel, but it's not just there. So this centre, hopefully, when it comes about, it's not just it's going to be for everybody, you know, race, colour, creed, gender. Football allegiance. Everybody's can use a facility. I think that's the big thing about it. You know, it's not just for one person or a group of people. It's for everybody. I think in this day and age, when we hear the numbers and look at the people that it affects, I think it's very, very important that we do something.
Sharpie, always a pleasure. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, sir. Thank you.
So it's getting a bit lively in there. Back outside. Not really outside, just in the foyer area. Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma. We mentioned him before with Richard Kenyon. Jake, you're here. You're like one of the VIPs at this event.
Yeah, I'm playing FIFA with Tom Davis, and it's a bit mad in there at the moment. It's brilliant, though. I think to see the engagement, genuine engagement from the players, is massive. I'm not aware of anything like this happening anywhere else.
There must be press teams right around the country who are thinking, oh, whenever we try and organise something with the first team, not uninterested, they disappear after 10 minutes. All you need to do is set up a dartboard, table tennis, and set up a few challenges, and basically you're off.
Yeah, I've seen Bernard in there playing mini golf, or just golf as he calls it. No, it's brilliant to see the actual genuine reaction from the players, and even just little conversations that we've had, and you can see conversations with everyone else. They're here because they want to be here. They're not here because they're forcing or being made to. It's amazing to see. It really is.
For people who don't know, Bernard is a footballer. Bernard is his name, and he's very small. That's why that's a good joke. Well done, congratulations. The club's absolutely embracing the mental health world, if you like, and you've been sort of invited to be part of that as well. It takes a lot, doesn't it, for an organisation to say, okay, let's do something about it. But when we're talking about millions of pounds worth of fundraising, and we're talking about investment in deprived areas of inner cities within large metropolitan boroughs, we're talking about really making a difference there, aren't we?
Yeah, I think the important thing about this project is that Everton are looking forward obviously to a stadium move, and what they don't want to do is just leave the community behind. They know they've got that responsibility and that tie to that community and always will do, and it was about doing something that can be a legacy of the club in the area. We met with Everton over a year ago when they invited myself in as Chasing the Stigma, and we're looking at different ideas that we can do, and as soon as the idea about the People's Place came up, about creating something brand new, purpose-built building to look after the mental health of the community, they were 100% behind it from the very beginning. I remember in like the first meetings that we had in January of last year, when from CEO right down, it was a case of, this is what we want to do, so let's actually make it happen now.
And in terms of making it happen as well, just in terms of the facility that they want to put on there, essentially a drop-in, a walk-in, self-referral, Liverpool fan, Everton fan, not a football fan at all. That's very ambitious in itself as well. There'll be plenty of organisations that are trying to make that work for them, but Everton think they've found a way of doing it.
They do, because Everton have got a record of doing amazing work within mental health anyway, using sport as a kind of caveat to bring people in, which is really powerful. And it's just a case of doing something more, not just sitting there and saying, well, we already do something good. The power that they do have at football club to be able to bring people together, as well as the history, the record that they have, means that they are attracting people constantly. I remember when we first announced that we were doing this project, and people turning up and saying, how do I get help, where do I go? And that's, you know, obviously where we come in, having a hub of hope as well, and being able to signpost people to help and support while we're waiting for the building to be built. But it was about actually looking at innovative ways, looking at preventative ways to be able to make that part of the community, whether that is using people to come in for a coffee, for other things that we can bring people in, whether it might be just a chat, whether it's a game of football, whether it's a haircut, whatever that might be. It's engaging with the community and giving the people in the community something that they want, and then helping them as well at the same time.
Jake, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.
So as the music plays and people settle down to their dinner, that wraps up this week's edition of Mental Health Monday, summarising the events taking place at the People's Place and their gala dinner. Thanks for the invite, Everton in the community. It's been a really great night and great to mix with some of the great people who are here today. Hopefully you've got a sense of exactly what's going on in regard to the People's Place project. If you want to find out more, just look at the website for Everton in the community and on their social media as well. Or if you type in the People's Place to any search engine, you get all the links that you need as the fundraising continues. It's Mental Health Monday from Radio City Talk.